Hi, everybody, and welcome again to the Design Elite Wedding Planning Podcast. Today's guest is Lance Butters from Molinelli's Jewelers, and he is a, what are you exactly? What kind of a gemologist?
Well, I have a gemologist that works for me. We have a retail jewelry store, Pocatello, Idaho. My connection with you, of course, is a family connection. Have Big Brother to help hook up your brides with fabulous deals on diamonds and to explain them how to get the most diamond for their dollar.
Right, and I've had quite a few brides take advantage of the homie hookup is what he calls it. So tell me your store. What's the name of your store?
Molinelli's Jewelers. It's Molinelli's. We're located in Pocatello, Idaho, Idaho's oldest jewelry store. My website is PocatelloJeweler.com. That's P-O-C-A-T-E-L-L-O, Jeweler.com. And you can find over 500 styles in wedding sets there. But what's really exciting is what we do with our diamond selection.
So let me ask you this. Right off the bat, we've talked about sort of some things we want to talk about on this podcast. And first of all, I kind of want to know what's trending in wedding jewelry?
Well, trending, of course, is still mostly white gold, although yellow gold and rose tones are coming into fashion. Yellow gold's coming back a little, but primarily still most brides are looking for yellow gold in designs. What is still very trendy is a vintage look, diamond shapes. Round will always be the most popular, round brilliant cut, because it is the most beautiful cut as far as the light refraction back to the eye, and it also is the easiest to design a variety of designs around. When you have a fancy cut, it cuts down on the limits a designer and what they can do. But other popular shapes are princess cut, cushion cut, radiant, ovals, and maybe an Asher cut. I see a few requests for an Asher cut. And each of those has subtle differences. Each of them have some benefits. Each of them have some negatives. Sometimes you trade a little brilliance in a diamond for a unique shape, but it all comes down to the quality of the gemstone.
So we're seeing in weddings a huge trend to vintage. We went through like this whole trend of kind of country vintage. Now we're seeing a trend of genuine vintage, 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. Are you seeing the same thing in rings?
Yes, designers are trying to design a vintage look. They have some characteristics to the vintage style that makes a very attractive ring. But also, one needs to keep in mind when selecting a style, durability, because it's something they're going to wear the rest of their life. Oftentimes, vintage is equated with filigree and really fancy and delicate styles. A ring can be made worthy of wearing every day and still have a vintage look. It can be constructed such a way that you can wear it without worry.
Would you just ask? I mean, can you get a reliable answer from a jeweler if you say, can I wear this every day and it'll be okay?
You should be able to. A jeweler that is worth buying a ring from will want you to be happy long after the sale. One of the drawbacks to buying online, for example, is you may see a design that you love, but you do not know how practical it is. You do not know how it will work with your chosen profession. And, you know, considerations like, will I wear gloves because I'm a dental assistant, for example? Will this snag on clothing or in my child's hair? Will this be durable, something I can wear every day and not worry about stones falling out or catching or something? Those are all questions that are easy to ask if you're sitting down in front of someone that you trust, someone who's qualified to give you those answers. So that's a consideration why it's still a good idea to seek a piece of jewelry at a brick-and-mortar location rather than online.
Online, okay. Okay, so you talked about a couple of things there. You talked about the round, the brilliant, the princess cut. I've seen all of those things. I've seen brides with dozens and dozens of brides with different kinds of rings. And the same size and shape of diamond, I will find, is there's a drastic difference in price. You know, some will say it's one price, and sometimes it'll be the same, what looks to me like the same thing or similar, is thousands of dollars more. What's the difference there?
The difference in diamond pricing is all about what's called the four C's. It's color, cut, clarity, and carat weight. We'll talk about, say, carat weight first, since you mentioned the size. Carat weight is a unit of weight measurement. Its name origin comes from, anciently, they used seeds from the carob bean. They were remarkably consistent in weight, and so they would use those to measure the size or weight of a gemstone. That name stuck and was modified to carat. So a 1 carat diamond is equal to 100 points, a 1/2 carat, 50, a 1/4 carat, 25. That is the main factor in calculating the price of a diamond, since diamonds are priced by carat. So if all factors are equal, the other four C's, color, cut, and clarity, then carat weight makes the difference in the price. It doesn't mean anything when you're talking about the beauty of a diamond. A very small diamond and a very large diamond can be beautiful in their own right. The other three C's are what determine the beauty of a diamond. First of all, and what I feel is the most important, is the cut. A diamond that is cut to proper proportions will reflect more light back to the eye, no matter what its shape is, whether it's a round, whether it's an oval, or a princess cut. If it's cut well, it can be compared to the paint job on a car or your house. It's the first thing that speaks to you or that you see, is how sparkly a diamond is. A diamond that is very sparkly is likely cut very well. The next factor that can affect the beauty of a diamond is its clarity. A diamond that is completely free of any kind of imperfections would be considered flawless. It would be very rare, and it doesn't mean that it's more beautiful. It just means that it's more rare, and therefore it's more expensive. Diamonds that have grades like VVS1, VVS2.
So what does the V stand for?
Means very, very slightly included. It's just a degree of imperfection. A diamond that is flawless would be called flawless, or IF, meaning internally flawless. Then next would come VVS1 and VVS2.
Very, very
slightly included.
Okay.
These categories are given by a trained gemologist under 10 power magnification. So when we're talking a diamond that is VVS, you're talking about something that is microscopic as an imperfection, or we like to call them identifying characteristics, because each diamond is unique in its own makeup. Each one will have something that will be an identifying characteristics. The next category is VS, still microscopic to the unaided eye. The next category would be SI, which means slightly included, and it has 2 categories, 1 and 2. Those have to do with the amount and location of an imperfection in a gemstone. Those classifications mean that a diamond mounted face up, the way it would be in a ring, should not have any eye visible inclusions to the unaided or untrained eye.
So if you're looking at it on somebody's hand, you will not be able to see it.
Okay. The wearer or the person next to you. Now, a diamond that has a grade of I1 or I2 will have an imperfection that you can see without even knowing what you're looking for without magnification. Its designation means that it's eye visible.
Oh, okay.
So therein lies the difference in one girl's diamond versus another and the difference in price.
So let me just ask you this. Given today's diamond market, which would be, you know, in 2012, if I had a 1 carat diamond that was flawless, what might I pay for that?
Well, if it were flawless, that's only one category. If it were flawless and colorless, and it were cut to ideal proportions, and it had no fluorescence, and it had good symmetry and good polish and all of the things, let's say it was a perfect diamond, that 1-carat diamond could be as high as $18,000 or $19,000 for a 1-carat diamond. However, that would be an extremely rare stone and would be really silly for most budgets to pay for that kind of diamond. It wouldn't be any more beautiful than one that was, say, a G color, SI1, ideal cut, and compared side by side, only an expert could tell the difference. But it would be half the price.
Oh. So you talked about color. We never went over color. Tell me about the color.
Well, color, the complete absence of color, or no color at all, would be a grade D. That means a diamond is colorless. And then slight body color, usually yellow, sometimes browns, or even other colors, can taint a stone slightly, so that the color is slightly visible. It's more visible when a stone is turned upside down on a white background. You can see.
But you never see it that way, right?
No. You should determine if you like the color face up the way it would be mounted in a diamond. Now, a diamond with color doesn't mean it's not beautiful. Many people like a diamond that is a champagne color or a yellow color. When a diamond is of such significant color that it is easily distinguishable, then the price starts to go back up because it's considered a fancy color. But where the best value in diamond color grades lie is probably that G, H, I color range. The color is not noticeably yellow, so it doesn't stand out against the small diamonds that might accent it for example, a vintage design. If you have it in white gold and you have pretty white diamonds surrounding it, you don't want to have a diamond that appears yellow in the mounting. When a diamond starts to appear visibly yellow, it's in that J, K, L color range. Diamonds that are higher than G are beautiful, but not any more beautiful than the lower grades. They're just more rare. And so rarity costs more money. And so...
So it's not something you can tell with your eye...
You can tell 2 or 3 grades difference. But if you had a G and an H mounted in a ring next to each other, even an expert would have a tough time telling. They need to be out and turned over and compared to what's called a master grading set. So all of those factors affect the price of a diamond. So you might see a girl that's very important to her to have a colorless, nearly flawless diamond cut to ideal proportions in a big size, and let's say we're talking 1.5 carat, and it could be thousands more dollars than her friend who has one that looks to you just as beautiful, but is a couple grades less in color clarity and has that same ideal cut, because that's the thing that makes the most beauty in a diamond. I think what a consumer has to watch for is if you go into a chain store, they buy cuts that are less than spectacular, let's say. They'll buy cuts that are too deep or too shallow because they have a market for those. A cutter gets paid on his finished yield, how much diamond he turns up with out of a rough. That's the way he gets paid. So he wants to cut a diamond that's deep and heavy. Or if he takes a rough that will only...
When you say rough, tell me what that means.
A rough diamond, the diamond in crystal form before it's cut and polished into a diamond.
It looks like a rock.
It looks like two triangles stuck together at the base. It's usually called an octahedron. That's not the only shape that it could come in, but that's the most common. So each octahedron will yield what it's going to yield. For example, you may be able to cut one large stone out of. One you might be able to cut a couple of small ones. Another one, you might be able to cut a shallow one or a deep one.
And that's up to the person who's cutting it will determine what they can do.
He determines what he can do with the stone. And and what's going to be the diamond that's going to be the largest that he can cut out of that, the largest quality diamond. Might have to cut around a flaw in the rough, kind of like cutting mold off of cheese.
Oh, okay.
So if a cutter gets paid for yield, he's not always interested in the most beautiful diamond because there is a market for poorly cut diamonds. And it's chain stores where you go in and buy a diamond that's already mounted in a ring and it looks beautiful because you love the style, but you don't have another diamond that's cut spectacular to compare it by. So you don't know if there's anything better. So some gal may come in and have a 1-carat diamond and it looks like a 3/4 carat because it's cut very deep. And her friend might have been very choosy when she was buying a diamond, and she's got a beautiful ideal cut diamond and it looks bigger. And she thinks, well, what gives here? And a diamond that is cut to ideal proportions will have a bigger visual footprint than one that's cut deep.
Okay. Okay, so let me just ask you this. 1 carat, ideal, everything is perfect. $18,000, she said. What is the lowest grade?
Well, the lowest grade that's acceptable depends on the person.
Let's say that your price range purchased.
Your price range can vary to as much as, say, $2,500 for a 1-carat diamond. But that's not going to be a very pretty diamond. There's going to be something about that that's going to have some eye-visible inclusions, or it's going to be obviously yellow or brown, but cut properly can still be beautiful. I think if a bride wanted a 1-carat diamond, she should plan on a budget between $4,000 and $7,000. Now, those things always are fluctuating. The diamond market in the last year has gone up quite a bit because pressure from Chinese buyers. They were buying everything. But I learned in a meeting just this morning that those pressures are starting to stabilize and the price of rough is coming down. So diamonds of size are feeling some pricing pressure. So there might be some good deals on the horizon in diamonds that are a carat or more.
Okay, so your advice to a bride is it better to start out with budget? Is it better to start out with size? Is it better to start out with quality?
I believe it's probably a better idea to start out with budget, because if you want spectacular quality, it always has a price tag, and spectacular quality can be had in all budget classifications. If you have a budget of $2,000, you can get something that's beautiful, but you shouldn't expect to have a 1-carat diamond at that price.
A beautiful 1-carat diamond.
Right.
Okay.
And so if you have a $5,000 budget, you can get something beautiful. A jeweler like me who goes to Antwerp twice a year can get you more diamond for the money than you thought possible.
Okay, so let's talk. First of all, let me ask you this. You say you go to Antwerp twice a year. What's the reason for that?
Well, Antwerp, Belgium is what they consider the diamond capital of the world. It is where 7 out of 10 of all diamonds in the world go through there to be sorted, distributed, cut, polished, or sold. It's kind of a diamond supermarket. Every country in the world that produces and buys diamonds has offices there. I go there to get a spectacular selection for my store or for a shopping list that I take with me each time I go. I go there because I belong to an independent jewelers organization called IJO, the largest independent jewelers organization in the world. It's where the big boys play. As an individual jewelry store, they'd laugh me out of the office. But combined buying power, we go over in trips of anywhere from 10 to 50 stores at a time, and we buy significant amounts of diamonds.
Tell me what's significant.
Well, significant to them would be diamonds in the hundreds of thousands, like a trip that would have, say, $500,000 in purchases. Significant for our store, I buy from $20,000 to $100,000 worth of diamonds at a time. And that would be for my inventory and for a select shopping list. By being there, it gives a individual a competitive advantage and a great story. For example, let's say John Q. Groom comes to me and said, I want to buy an engagement ring for my girl. What do you have that's beautiful? Well, of course he wants a beautiful diamond. But if he is on my shopping list at Antwerp, he can tell a story that nobody else can tell. He can tell her when he presents that ring, I sent someone 10,000 miles to pick through the world's largest supply and get the perfect diamond for the perfect girl. And he can do it for less money. And he can do it for less money because when a diamond salesman comes to my store in between my trips to fill in the holes that I have, he has to get his supply somewhere. And he goes to Antwerp to buy diamonds. And when he goes, he picks the very best ones. And when he picks a good one that has high color, high clarity, an excellent cut, he writes premium or price on those. He sells those for more. If I have someone on my shopping list, I get a look through a parcel that might have four or five grades, at least three grades in that parcel.
Let me just ask you, let's start right there. When you look through these diamonds for a person, let's say I wanted a 1-carat diamond. My groom came and said to you, I want a 1-carat diamond for Design Elite. You would go to Antwerp and you would look specifically for that person for a diamond that fit in their budget?
Yes. That we would get together and say, what's important to you? They would be able to emphasize the size, the color, the clarity, the cut. Or if they wanted to say, I don't know anything about diamonds, what do you recommend? Then I would say, what is your budget? And it would be different than a retail situation because my goal then would to be exceed their expectations on what they wanted to purchase rather than to get all of their money. You walk into a retail jeweler establishment, a chain store, and they ask you what's your budget. That's the last thing you want to tell them. But if you come to me and you're on my Antwerp shopping list, I want to get you more diamonds for the money than it's possible for you to get anywhere. I've cut two people in the process out of the picture, the stateside supplier and his wholesaler, by going direct to the source. There's less people with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak.
And you don't have to inventory it. I can see
that's
that
right.
As a,
if it's pre-sold, I don't have to worry about when I'm going to sell it. So I don't have to have more margin on it. I can operate on a very low margin. But the best thing about it is the sheer choice. Having
so how many
hundreds,
do you get to look at? If you're looking for my 1-carat diamond, how many diamonds will you look at before you choose mine? Or out of how many will you choose mine?
Thousands. Thousands.
Really?
We're at the diamond capital of the world, and I see five different vendors, and each of them has their inventory or selection. So if I settle with you and I say, what's important to you, and you take my recommendations, and you're saying, I want something that's an HSI1 ideal cut diamond at 1-carat size in a round brilliant. So I'm looking for those, and I look through literally parcel after parcel. And the first thing I do is look at the ones that sparkle the most. They're talking to me, saying, pick me, pick me. Because that's a function of cut, the ones that sparkle most. So I know that they're likely to be ideal cut. So I'm going to set those aside. And then I'm going to compare them side by side and cherry pick the ones that have the most color, the best color. And I'm going to take them, set those aside, and then look at them under magnification and cherry pick out of those the ones that have the best clarity. And then I'm going to check things like put them under a black light, see if they have fluorescence. Or other things that are very subtle that you can't see on paper. So the difference is when you go into a jewelry store and say, what can I see in a 1-carat? He might have three or four. And you'll be lucky if you're the first one after the last time he got supplied, And you may think one is very beautiful, but you might not think it's as beautiful as the 100 of others that I got to pick through.
Well, I see.
By having that choice, I get more diamond for the money than can be had anywhere.
Okay, so you go there and you say, you have this list of people that you're buying for, and you you bring it back, and they just, you set it in whatever setting they want. Is that the deal?
Yes, if they already have a setting, we can set it in whatever setting they want. If they need a setting, I have over 500 styles in stock. I'd be happy to help them with the setting. And I know there's a lot of jewelers between your customer here and where my store is. But if I'm going 10,000 miles to pick a diamond, what's a few hundred miles between?
Okay, I have had a couple of brides who have emailed you pictures, and you've got them a ring and everything, and you've never met them before. Of course, you know, they're people that I know personally, and I've recommended you, so I can see how that works. But generally, buying online is not that easy, right?
Well, buying online has some drawbacks. Usually the biggest attraction for online buyers is price. And it's because there's no overhead. You know, a guy can list something online, but buyer beware. A lot of people do research online, but still the greatest majority want to see, touch, and feel, or have a place where they have some recourse, where they can take a ring back or a stone back. You're kind of nervous to send something back to cyberspace, even if they have a great guarantee saying, well, you can order it, you can take a look at it, you can return it in within 2 weeks if you want. Then, but you're always nervous when you package up something and ship it off. So one of the things, jewelers now can be very competitive. I can be very competitive with online pricing. But you buy something online, you think, who's going to guarantee it? What kind of warranty am I going to have? What if I have something go wrong? What if I don't like it? What
so
am
what's
I going to do
what's
there?
What's an average warranty like?
Well, they vary with each vendor. It's buyer beware. If I were buying a gemstone, I would like to buy it from someone that I can sit down and look at. Now, in the case where you've referred brides to me, they have recourse. They can come to my store. I'm reachable. I'm attainable. My store's been around for 110 years. And so they don't have to worry whether I'm going to be here tomorrow. Another thing that a bride and groom should consider when buying online is a lot of times things are misrepresented. And you like to be able to see, touch, and feel what you're going to get. There's a saying in the jewelry business that says, if you don't know jewelry, know your jeweler.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you have a warranty yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You provide a warranty?
Yeah, our warranty covers, so we have what's called the Eternal Diamond Guarantee, and it'll cover virtually everything that can happen to your ring or gemstone, including mysterious disappearance. Other jewelry chains have warranties that will cover if your diamond falls out, but if something happens to your ring, like you drop it in a garbage disposal, they'll cover it, but you have to have a piece of that ring. Well, what happens if someone steals it or it burns up in a fire? Those are the two of the most likely things to happen to your piece of jewelry. Our warranties covers that. Most others don't.
Okay, so if they're looking for, and they're not coming to you, let's say, should they look for a jeweler? Are there other jewelers who have that same warranty?
There are some other jewelers. They would probably belong to the independent jewelers organization. They should look for a sign on their door, ask them if they belong to IJO, which is an independent jewelers organization. An independent jeweler is not bound by corporate strategy or one-size-fits-all philosophy. They have the ability to do what they want to cater to what's most important to an individual.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, we've covered buying in Antwerp. Can anybody get on that shopping list?
They can if they've got an Antwerp connection. For example, all they would need to do is call me or someone else who goes to Antwerp twice a year. There are other jewelers, but... for all intents and purposes, I'm not going to advertise for them. They have to belong to an independent jewelers organization that connects and gets them in the doors to Antwerp diamond suppliers. But what a cool thing to say, hey, I sent someone a long way to pick out of thousands of diamonds to get you the one that's perfect for you, and it cost me less money.
Well, you don't have to tell them that. Okay, so if I were to want to get a hold of you and find, do you have, let's say you're not going to go to Antwerp in the next 3 months and I want to get a diamond. Do you still have diamonds that you can sell to people who I refer to you?
Yes, every diamond that I have in my inventory is an Antwerp diamond picked from a previous trip. The way to get them the cheapest is to be on the pre-sale list. I always bring back some that I have in inventory for stock. And when you send me a client, because you're my sister and because there's a lot of jewelers between here and there, I always give them Antwerp pricing, whether it's been on my trip or if it's something
that
I haven't
stopped. So effectively you are on the Antwerp list if you're one of my brides?
Yes.
Is that the deal?
You are. However, the best thing is to be on, to time it when I'm selecting for you, because I'm selecting for you in my mind. I have that huge selection in front of me. Now, I pick diamonds from that selection, and I cherry-pick them out in just the same process for my inventory. So they're all good ones. They're all qualify for ones that I would pick for you, but it's funner to do it when I have your criteria in mind, your name in mind, and your budget, and my goal is to say I want to get them more for their money than they expect.
Okay. Okay, so if they wanted to get on your Antwerp list, or just see... Can they send you a picture of something that they've seen, a setting?
Can send a picture. They could send it to my email address, which is Molinellis, M-O-L-I-N-E-L-L-I-S, @gmail.com. And you can check the link after this podcast for that information. They can call me at my store, 208-232-0972. They can follow me on Facebook at Molinelli Jewelers Facebook page.
You have contests going on
all
the time.
Yeah, I always have something going on, and I'll have a Antwerp countdown coming on. I'm going on my next trip in about 3 weeks, and I'll have a countdown going on. I always got some jewelry, new jewelry styles that I'm asking people's opinion on, whether they like. I'd love to have people's input on latest trends. Got, you know, always fun things going on my Facebook page.
Okay, and so you can call, you can email, you can see if there's something that fits in your color, cut, clarity, and carat weight by emailing you, and then perhaps make a road trip down there, or as my brides sometimes do, they just have you send it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time I've gone, I've had, I've picked a diamond out for someone I've never met before. Now, I just spent some time... telling you that buying without seeing, touching, feeling is a different thing. Well, everyone I've ever picked a diamond for has had a personal reference or someone like you or a friend say, well, I have a friend who's headed to Antwerp and I shop for them. And my guarantee is I will exceed your expectations for the money that you spend or I just unwind the deal and I keep the diamond for myself.
So if they aren't happy with it, they don't buy it.
It's a no questions asked guarantee.
Very cool. Okay, so we've talked about Antwerp. We've talked about buying online. We've talked about size of your diamond. You've talked about the four C's. You've talked about that. Let's talk just quickly. What's the average cost of a diamond will spend?
What a bride and groom should count on is spending 2 months' salary. That's a national average. Is whatever their income is now, 2 months' worth of that income should be figured on toward their engagement ring. Now, that varies per region, and of course, you always have to take in consideration, like, we're both students now. Sometimes a couple will buy a set that they love and plan on buying a diamond later. I can tell you from the voice of experience that later comes much later than you think, because there's always things to spend money on. But that's the national average, and the regional average around here would probably be 1.5 times monthly salary.
So in the Intermountain West, it's about 1.5 times. Okay, so let me just ask you in closing one question. What is the most expensive diamond you've ever sold?
The most expensive diamond I've ever sold is $58,000.
How big was that?
That was a 4.5 carat.
And see, here I am stuck on size. Was it, how did it, what were the four C's on that one?
That diamond wasn't particularly high clarity grade. It had some stuff in it that you could see. It was beautifully cut. It was beautiful, but it was, the criteria on that was, the purchaser said, is this any bigger? Is this bigger than anything my sister-in-law's or my mother-in-law has? And I said, yes. He said, I'll take it.
How funny is that?
So there are something. What motivates each buyer is different.
Okay, so let me ask you one more question. What is the biggest, not the biggest, what is the most expensive stone you've seen in Antwerp?
I saw a stone that sold for $27
million. Holy cow.
It was a beautiful, modified, shield-shaped diamond. I actually got to hold it in the Antwerp office. In my last trip, I played with about $7.5 million worth of diamonds like they were marbles. They were fancy-colored diamonds. I had a 20-carat diamond on my hand and played with it. And me and a few jewelers made an offer on it. They kind of laughed at us because we thought the economy was a little depressed and we could pick it up for $100,000 cheaper than they wanted to sell it. And they sold it the next day for $350,000.
Oh, well, that was a wise choice for them then. Okay, I think we've got your information, and I really appreciate you coming and doing this podcast with me, and I hope that you'll find me a fabulous ring in Antwerp someday. Maybe if I put a bug in my husband's ear, that'll happen. This is Lorna Reed from Design Elite Wedding Planning Podcast with my guest, Lance Butters from Molinelli's Jewelers. You can find him on, tell me your website again.
PocatelloJeweler.com.
PocatelloJeweler.com, and search for him on Facebook. Always has got a contest going on there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.